Chapter 1. They call it the Battle Bus. It was a standard double-decker once, nothing special, one of hundreds that drove up and down the city's commuter routes, packed with people, until the Civil Defence Force fighters repurposed it into a weapon of war. Long gone are the days when this thing carried students, shoppers and workers. It might only have been a couple of months ago, but the battle bus is as much a deterrent now as the all-terrain trucks, armoured jeeps and tactical support vehicles it rides alongside. On one side of the bus, there's a painted-over advert for a film no one saw. On the other, an equally obscured ad for shampoo. Remember when all that stuff mattered? Remember when we watched films? Remember when we washed our hair and gave a damn about how we looked? Today, all that's important is staying alive. Metal grills have been welded over the windows of the bus, slits cut out for the barrels of rifles or the brutal blades of knives or the sharpened points of spears or whatever else the fighters can find to keep those foul-hater bastards at bay. It's their fault, all of this. Those evil fuckers deserve everything that's coming to them. The bottom deck of the bus is packed full of people. Militia fighters pressed up tight against each other, looking combat ready, feeling anything but. Because unlike the enemy they're about to face, this is alien to them. You have to match their aggression and speed, that's the key. They'll kill you quick if you spend too long thinking about it. The guy at the front of the line with a Beretta used to be a teacher, but his classroom's now empty. The woman immediately behind was a stay-at-home mum, but there's nothing left for her to stay at home for. And anyway, her home's just a shell, an empty box leaking memories. Now she's out here, day after day, seeking revenge for the slaughter of her family. She'll tell you she's just doing her bit to help keep the wheels turning, but that's crap. Coming out here is vengeance and therapy rolled into one. She realized that when she felt the cathartic rush the first time she skewered one of those vile hater creatures on the meter-long length of sharpened metal railing she carries with her at all times. The top deck of the bus is empty, for now. The plan today is simple, same as yesterday, and no doubt the same as tomorrow. Find anyone human who's left alive out there and get them safely within the city's makeshift walls. There are more than 30 people in this ragtag convoy of military and civilian vehicles, heading toward one of the largest groups they've found in a long time. A scout spotted a pocket of survivors sheltering in a clinic on one of the main routes into town. No one knows who these people are, where they came from, or how long they've been here. But they're still alive, and they're like us. And right now, that's all that matters. Damn haters are everywhere, though. They come from all angles at once and never give up. The way they focus on the clinic is proof positive there are people worth saving in there. The haters' approach is scattershot. Many individual attacks combining to become a continuous yet largely uncoordinated blitzkrieg. By contrast, there are pre-planned strategies and agreed tactics behind the response of the quasi-military, unchanged forces. They approach the battle zone bunched up tight like a rolling roadblock, and then as they near the clinic, CDF fighters lay down suppressing fire, picking off the haters now swarming toward them from either side. Despite their lack of cohesion, however, the haters are no less effective. Some of them are armed, but for the most part, they are the weapons. Their advantage is both in their numbers and their sheer aggression. Right now, this battle is their only focus. Nothing else matters. They exist for the kill. The drivers in the CDF convoy keep their speed up because a vehicle travelling at speed is a weapon of its own volition, and a vehicle moving at anything less than full pelt out here becomes a target. The guy behind the wheel of the bus is still struggling to adapt to what his life has become. He's been driving buses around the city centre and surrounding suburbs for almost 20 years. All he used to worry about was kids doing drugs on the top deck and the stream of drink-fueled verbal abuse he'd be subjected to most Friday and Saturday nights.